Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the ParaX Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Here we are on another fabulous day here in Minnesota.
It is. As you all expect, you're going to get a weather report first thing.
Because we do it. We always Minnesota. Do it.
Well, that's what Minnesotans talk about. If you're not from Minnesota, I don't know what you do. If you talk about weather first thing, it's like every conversation has to start with the weather. Maybe because it changes about every 5 minutes here.
It does. Every 5 minutes. I mean, if you don't like the weather now, In five minutes, it'll probably be different. Yeah.
Yep. That's the joke. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. Or is it 10 minutes? Anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's
beautiful.
Changes. Yeah.
Man, have gorgeous. We had some storms, though, lately. And I was, like, looking at the weather. I'm like, oh, here we go for Tuesday night. We might have another one. Nope. It's all good.
I know. We lucked out. I know. You guys have had some really big storms, I heard. There was, like, tornadoes almost and craziness happening here.
Yep. It has been crazy, but I am grateful for the rain because I have got a lot of plants that need to be watered, and so I'm super happy. Did you know, I don't know if you saw this, I posted it while you were gone, I found an apple tree in our yard.
I saw that.
Isn't that
you
crazy?
Didn't even know it was there.
I had no idea. Well, because the only contact I've had with trees lately is mowing, and so I look at like the bottom half as I'm trying to navigate around with the riding lawnmower and get under as far as I can, whatever. So I'm looking at like 10 feet and down, right? Mm-hmm. And walking the property with Cindy the other day, and I see this green thing laying on the ground, and I was like, what is that? And I thought a squirrel or something dragged something over, some kind of maybe a walnut or something, and I look and it was an apple. So we both looked up. Oh, Cindy's in the chat room, right? So we both looked up. Apples everywhere in the tree.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an apple tree. Hallelujah. So that was fun. Fun,
yeah.
Fine. So I'm super glad now we're getting all this rain because it's one more fruit tree I have to water. I mean,
yes.
Not that I wasn't really watering it before because I just thought it was a regular tree. Not that I don't water the regular trees, but they're all well established. And so I'm really trying to pay attention to the new ones because you got to give them a lot of water. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's a huge yard. 3 acres. Yeah. I'm toting that hose around like nobody's business.
you need to just get a sprinkler and just let it go, I think. You
know, I know. I got to get one of those that move mm-hmm. and follow the little path or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, though, when you are out watering, it's a very relaxing time of day, you know, because I have these new gardens with new plants, too. And so they all have to be watered almost every day. But it's just kind of nice and it's just relaxing and it's good for your soul and, you know, you're with all the plants and stuff. So it's fun. But if you have that many, I can see where it might take up more than you want to time than you want to
spend.
Well,
yeah. And I mean, I need probably with the way this is going about 125 feet of hose to drag around mm-hmm. to get as far out as I need to go. And that takes a while to haul it, you know, to each tree. So anyway, I got to figure out.
For sure.
Figure it out.
You
it's
will.
Worth it to have fruit trees, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I grew up, we had two big apple trees in the backyard. There's still one there. But yeah, it was great. I mean, I love fruit trees. You know, I don't have any fruit trees in my yard. But yeah, it would be fun. I miss the apple trees, you know. So fun stuff. And So what else is shaking?
Well, you were out of town, so I want to hear about that first.
I was. I was out on beautiful San Juan Island in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State, and it was fantastic. It was hoodie weather is what I call it, you know, in between 65 and 75, and sun every
day. Which is
day.
Not bad at all. I'll take that, too. I like all weather, though. It's good.
It's beautiful and no humidity, so... it was a little foggy a couple of mornings, but that's that coastal fog, you know, that comes in off the sea because, you know, we're on the sea and, you know, we saw J-Pod and we saw baby foxes and baby deer and tons of eagles and, you know, just all kinds of wildlife as you would expect, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, we were out there all the time, you know, we walked the beaches for hours and came back with like 20 pounds worth of rocks. I mean, really cool rocks, but we got some sea quartz and some jasper and yeah, just really fun stuff. But you know, it's funny because when you go somewhere like that and it's 2 hours time difference, you don't realize it affects you until you're waking up early there, because here it's the normal time, right? But, you know, and then when we get back here, then we're finally kind of used to it. And then we come back to Minnesota and it's like, wow, I slept almost 9 o'clock today. Do you know the last time I slept past 6:30? I don't even know. It was probably, you know, 10 years ago or something.
Well,
so
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was fab. It was wonderful. And we, you know, touched base with a friend of ours who's a researcher out there and talked about the whales. And so, yeah, it was very fun. You know, of course, we had to come back too soon. Always. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Well, I don't think any trip that's a really good one or that's close to your heart is ever too long. Like you could stay weeks and weeks and it'd still be not long enough, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes. It's always that way when we go there. We're never ready to come home. So, but yeah, it was very fun. And Casey already thinks that we should go out again in October. I'm not sure because Orca Month is in October, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? You know, it would just be a weekend or whatever, but it might be a kind of fun little something to do, you know? So
awesome.
Anyway, yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, it is something to think about for sure. So, oh my gosh. So, yeah, lots of stuff happening. Wasn't really on Facebook. I did post a lot of pictures because it's just so beautiful out there. I have to share it with everyone, you know?
Yep.
And did not make it up to the mausoleum because I felt like this was a trip for living and I didn't want to deal with anything dead or anything in the paranormal world. So we stayed clear away from there and that was just fine with me and just focused on life, you know? So it was fabulous. Absolutely.
Very cool. You know, Karen in the chat room said, I wonder why people don't move to the places they love. There you go, Steph.
Well, it's true, except up there, you know, it's an island. Not a lot to do for an income, for example. What would I do to pay those enormous prices that a house costs up there, you know? I know, Casey.
Well, can't
you
live
Casey?
Close to there? Then you'd be close enough to go visit whenever you wanted.
We could. But, you know, Seattle has really gone downhill. We were there for a couple of hours on the way up when we arrived. And, you know, they've had almost as much rioting as Minneapolis has. And, but in addition to
that. Doesn't
mean
Seattle's gone downhill.
No, but listen, in addition to that.
Let me just apologize for Steph to anybody living in Seattle area. Okay, go ahead, Steph.
Right. Well, I'm saying, you know, because Minneapolis, I'll say this because I live here. Minneapolis has gone downhill significantly, you know. But there are so many homeless people in Seattle now. There are tents all along the interstates. People have just, there's a huge homeless population, but there's also a lot of crime out there. And I don't remember ever feeling not safe there. And I, you know, we stopped by, Casey wanted to go to, you know, there's Chinatown and there's Japantown. And she always likes to go to these two shops that are in Japantown. And so they're really close to the Seattle Seahawks Stadium. So we actually stopped there too, which was really fun because we're big Hawks fans and we bought some clothing, you know, because we had to support our team. But it was not so nice down there anymore. You know, I was a little afraid and I don't think I've ever been afraid out there before. So, and people, you know, our friends on the island were saying, oh yeah, they don't even recognize Seattle anymore. They said, you know, it's just, there's just so much crime, it's crime ridden, and there's so many homeless people, and it's just kind of a scary place, kind of like Minneapolis right now, gotta say. You know, they said, wow, kind of two cities on the same course. And I said, you're right, absolutely, you know. Wow. Yeah, and Seattle was always so safe, Karen. Absolutely, never worried. Even like, even where the stadiums are, that was kind of, you know, where they build stadiums, it's never really the nicest part of town, but we never really felt unsafe there, you know. And now we didn't even want to leave our car by the stadium to run into the shop for very long, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. It's sad. It's sad to see that.
Bad. Mm-hmm. I've only been there once. I did go, we've talked about this, that I went up into the islands as well and visited Seattle, and it was an awesome trip and I loved it, but mm-hmm. that's too bad. But hopefully, you know, we're all making some changes here in this country, hopefully. And
we sure hope so. We sure hope so, because Seattle is a beautiful city, no doubt about it. And, you know, when we were there, we were driving through there yesterday, and I'm like, you know, Seattle has so many tall buildings now. I mean, there, it makes Minneapolis look like a little cow town on the prairie, you know. And I always thought we're kind of big now too, but in comparison to Seattle, it's like, wow, they just keep building these skyscrapers. And, you know, it is a beautiful town, and people out there are so sweet. You know what I mean? They're just so hospitality inclined, and, you know, just have that cute little accent out there. I don't even, the Pacific Northwest accent, but, yeah, I don't know. Seattle's not a place I would want to spend much time, you know, right now anyway. So hopefully they get, you know, things cleaned up like Minneapolis. Hopefully Minneapolis will as well. But yeah, I would love to live on the island. Casey, of course, is looking for houses. I told her what my parameters were. You know, it had to be a treed lot. It had to be out in the country. It had to be at least an acre. You know, it doesn't matter how big the house is, you know, and she has to find me a job. And she has to find a job. And then who knows, you know.
Then there you go.
There you
go.
No
problem.
It could happen, you know. Well, the thing is, we do know a lot of people out there, so you just never know.
Well, you could network and get something figured out. And
that's right.
It's possible, Steph. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I know. And there are no bugs out there, Karen. We didn't see one. We were outside almost the entire time we were on the island, because that's what we do. And we were out at night. We saw the comet. We went out to South Beach at night and watched, you know, found the comet, which was really fun. And then the night before we left, we went out into the farm fields just outside town to have a look, to look at it again. No bugs. There are no bugs out there. There just really aren't, you know, and it's just so phenomenal. Tiny house living. Well, Sherry, you know, I do have a dog and a cat, and there's us, and I think we need a little bit bigger than a tiny house, but I would love an old farmhouse out there. That would be my choice, you know, that we could kind of fix up as we go along. But property out there is super expensive, as you well know. So who knows? It could happen. Maybe someday. It's a dream, right?
Yep. You could start working for it right now.
Yeah.
Start planning.
Sure could.
Can you imagine all the squatching you could do out there?
Well, I don't know if there's squatches on the island per se.
But, no, not on the island.
No, but in the Pacific Northwest. Oh yeah. There's lots of squatches squatch things are everywhere, like pictures of squatches and merchandise. And even on the island, there's a lot of stuff this year. I was kind of surprised. So, and Casey said, well, Mom, you always say that Sasquatch is interdimensional. Why couldn't he be on the island? If he's interdimensional, he could show up there just as well as he could in northern Minnesota. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Nope. He wouldn't necessarily have to swim across the, you know, the ocean to get there. So, you know, who knows?
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, it's something to work for, I say. If you love it that much, I'd say figure out a way to live, to get there, live there.
Mm-hmm.
You only live once that you remember.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right? You don't remember the other ones.
No.
That's another show.
Yeah. Exactly. So what are we talking about tonight, Heidi?
We are going to talk about angels and demons, not angels versus demons, just angels and demons in general. And one of the things that I wanted to hopefully hear from people in the chat room is any experiences that you feel you've had with one or the other or both, hopefully not at the same time, because I can only imagine. But yeah, I would love to hear from people in the chat room if you have any experiences or, you know, situations that you feel like you interacted or witnessed an angel, presence of an angel or demon or activity from either one, because that's it happens. I think it happens more than we realize. I don't know that people always want to talk about something like that, you know, for a lot of reasons. Could be religious reasons or people think you're crazy reasons or all those things. So if you have anything to type into the chat room, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. Well, so I think we should start out with what exactly is an angel? Because I'm thinking, you know, when I think of angels, I think of, you know, the Christian faith, right? Because God has his angels, the dark angels and the light angels. And do you have to be a Christian to believe in angels? Or are they spirit guides? Are they supernatural beings that guide us along in our lives?
So are you asking or are you making statements?
Well, I'm just
rhetorical.
What does everybody think? Because I don't know that there's any right answer or any wrong answer. And do other religions believe in, you know, like, for example, Kristen would have been a fun one to have on the show tonight because she could have told us, you know, the pagan viewpoint. But yeah, what exactly are they?
I think a lot of people have, or a lot of different cultures or religions maybe have a version of it. I don't know if it's the same. Karin made a comment that says, I think everyone has their own definition of what they are. And I believe that's probably true. Maybe the definitions are similar. Maybe not. What I believe, and I've been told by my spirit guides, and I do believe this, an angel is a being who has never been human. So they have a very different energy and vibration than other entities that you might run into. So, or, you know, come across, I guess. So yeah, I that's what I believe. I believe that what I have been told is that everybody has angels that can, I don't know, help them, witness them, guide them, whatever. But my understanding is that they're not as active with you in the day-to-day as like spirit guides. So they're more of like they're higher ups, like managers, you know, like they're like the vice presidents of the corporation instead of your manager. So they step in when things are needing, I don't know, they need to intervene or they need to be witnessed because it might change, you know, someone's outlook or viewpoint or whatever. Something needs to be witnessed. So they make themselves known, they make their presence known. Or they need people to know, or whoever they're presenting to, that this is happening, like this is what's happening. Or they can make a change to something that might be headed a certain direction, and it would be best if it didn't head that direction. So mm-hmm. That's my understanding of angels. May not be yours, that's, or anyone's, but that's fine. That's where I do believe that.
Well, and so if everyone has several that might help them along the way, where do these beings come from? I mean, yeah, they're just there's a lot of people on planet Earth. And I mean, if everyone has several, I mean.
Yeah, but several angels might be helping tons of people.
True.
They're not just working one-on-one. You know, I have the spirit guide I share with Tim. He doesn't just work with us. You know, he's not there all the time. He is when we, you know, start working with his energy and calling him in, he's there. But I know that he's doing other things too. So same thing with angels. They're not just one-to-one. You know, they can be if something is going on or whatever. And that might be true for some people. They might have a one-on-one, but it's not as common. Angels work with many, like ascended mm-hmm. masters and others, but they have a way different vibration. And where do they come from? Where does anything come from? You know, if you think about it, like energy is energy, but these beings, I don't even know if I could describe it because I don't know if I can wrap my mind around it. You know, it's not like they just come from another galaxy, dimension, whatever. I don't think it's that simple. I don't know that we could really explain where we come from in that way. You know, we can understand it in like the big boom kind of theory, whatever, but there's other pieces of it that are way bigger than that. With that, right. How can anything be good than that? I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's, I don't know. Those are my thoughts, but I think we have a lot of chatter in the chat room here.
Yeah,
so around angels. I want to get to some of this too.
Yeah, so Kat is saying, since I don't believe in them, I can't say it was an angel, but there was a time years ago that I was thinking about who, what the Michael being was. I believe Michael one of the archangels?
Michael? Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. How it must have been kind of lonely being thought of as the kick-ass angel. And I walked backwards off the countertop I'd been standing on, fell, hit the stove so hard I bent the prongs on the burner that the knobs are held on by, knocked the knobs off, but didn't get a scratch or bruise.
Hmm.
Kind of felt like I floated down while I was falling, and she'd been installing some fancy trim above the cabinet. Wow. But she, before that, she'd been listening to a show on Archangel.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, as far as I know, angels can step in big or small situations, you know. So could it be an angel? Sure. Do I think it was Archangel Michael? The vibration doesn't feel right, but could it be an angel? Absolutely. My experience with Archangel Michael is that would have been the reason you got knocked off the counter is because he came in, like he presented somehow. His energy is so big and powerful, it could literally knock you over. So he could have been the reason why you got knocked off the counter, but I don't think so. Cause he wouldn't do that, but that's an interesting story. And I'm super glad you didn't get hurt. Because yeah. That could have been really bad. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she said her belief is that she was, because she was thinking about that particular archangel, that there was a connection and maybe who, what, whatever helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm scrolling back to make sure that I get into some of these others. Sherry said, demons tried to kill me and she saw an angel in heaven. Please clarify, because I need to know more. Let's see here. Swanee. Hey, Swanee. He said, my mom called me an angel once. I believe it, and I don't. I'm just going to say that for you, Swanee. And let's see here. What else here? There's a question. Sherry said, can spirit guides be physical form beings? We'll get to that in a bit, because that's kind of off topic. I'm scrolling to, are you seeing anything else that
mm-hmm.
I'm missing?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, Kat, you know, said a few more things about, you know, what happened. She said she wasn't knocked off. She stepped
Good.
Further back than
okay.
this countertop. And then something maybe helped her so that she didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I think it's probably
and that could
said.
Be an angel for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. So I'll go back and answer Sherry's question. And then we'll get back on topic here, but please go into some detail about your couple of statements that you had that I just mentioned. But can your guides be physical form beings? Not in the way that you're probably asking. They can be sent by spirit guides or angels. People can be. There are, every once in a while, there are random people that really are, they don't have a human soul in them, but they could be other things, not just, you know, like spirit guides, angels, demons, whatever. I mean, they could go all over the place. So it's super rare that you would run into someone that is a spirit guide human. Like, I don't want to say it never happens, but it's probably that rare. But they could be sent by, if someone feels like they're that helpful or guiding, they could be sent by a spirit guide or an angel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So what else?
So Sherry is saying, you asked about the demon, and she's mm-hmm. saying that they tried to kill her in astral form multiple times.
But
full
why?
Killing we need, intent.
We need details, Sherry. You can't just drop something like that in the chat room and not give us details, because you know I'm going to ask a million questions. I need details.
Exactly. Details.
Yes.
What were you doing when you were in astral form?
Like, what were you doing that they wanted to kill you? Were you doing yeah. something that made them mad? Were you, you know, did they, like, what? Tell me. Tell us.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
are now curious. Please
yeah, because that's, you know, that's quite a bomb in there, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to know, Sherry. Inquiring minds want to know, for sure. So angels are, what everybody is saying is that angels are a being that can help you or not. that have never been human, that are not spirit guides, mm-hmm. but they're kind of above spirit guides, so they can pass around the spirit guides.
Well, I don't know if they do that either. It's more like, I think sometimes spirit guides call on the angels for help too. Okay. Like, we can call on angels for help for sure, but spirit guides can call on them too and go, look what's happening here. Like, can someone help? Like, this is usually stuff that's not good. Although if something is really good, it could be angel intervention too. I don't want to just go on the negative side of things. I have a story. I might've told this before here, but it's actually Tim. When I first, this was a couple years actually after I met him, he was driving down, I think it was Highway 10, and there's a lot of stoplights. There's culverts on the side of the road, you know, like where mm-hmm. it kind of dips down on the side. Anyway, he was going pretty fast on Highway 10, coming up towards, I believe, an intersection. I don't know if it was a stoplighted one or if it was one of those just double, you know, crossing the highway things. But anyway, a deer ran out in front of him and he swerved and I don't know how he swerved, because he doesn't usually swerve. He just hits them and sees, you know, whatever happens. But something happened where he ended up going into the ditch and he was trying to get control and getting it back into the, get onto the road, and his tire caught and he went up. There was a, you know, where it ends and it kind of goes up to the street level, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and he hit that and launched his truck. And he said it was all loud when you're in the ditch, right? If you've been in the ditch, you know how loud it can get, you know, in the summertime or fall or whatever, no snow. And it was so loud. And then he remembers his truck going airborne and it got super quiet. And he thought to himself, and he told me this, he said, I thought that was it, that I was going to die, because there's no way I was going to come down from this and not be killed. He goes, it's not possible. So he was immediately at peace, like, I'm going to die. This is my time. And this light flashed in the passenger seat and he felt someone say, no, it's not your time yet. And he didn't see like really anything but this light. Anyway, all of a sudden it's loud, everything's banging around, and his truck had apparently, people saw this, his truck went through the top of a tree, like through the branches, like leaves, everything. That's how high he was. And it rolled a handful of times. He landed wheels down and he got out of the truck, and people were coming over. Someone called the cops, whatever. Everything was dislodged from the inside of his truck. Everything was released from the frame of the truck. So the seats weren't attached to the floor. The plastic that goes around the roof was all unhooked. Mm-hmm. And the cop came and he's like, you need to go to the hospital. And Tim's like, I think I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm a little sore, but I'm walking around. I'm good. They let him go. They let him drive his truck home. I don't understand mm-hmm. how it even drove. His axle fell off when he got home. So it was no longer drivable. But he told me this and I said, that was angel intervention. There's no way you should have been hurt. And he had a seatbelt on, but everything came apart in his truck. He should have been at least hurt. And mm-hmm. someone said, it's not your time yet. And mm-hmm. I guess gave him a pass.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well,
it's true. But, you know, I always believe that our time is already fated when we're born, you know, so it just wasn't his time yet. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm not saying I don't believe in any of this. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think that it's just interesting, and I don't know that there's any definite explanation to any of it, right? You know, it's just kind of like, oh. So Kat is now saying, hey, maybe nothing intervened for me. I just hit the knobs, bent the prongs, and didn't notice the bruises later. And she's also saying, it occurs to me that beings thought to have been angels and demons might be beings older, not understood by us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's possible. You know, it's possible that it's put into these understandable forms so that we can make sense of things in our humanness, right? I don't know. But it's cool when you know, like, I don't know, I've had some angel presence happen throughout, you know, it's especially working with other people, they present for them, not for me. Mm-hmm. But you can tell a difference. So whatever they are, they're different. You can feel it. Like the energy changes. You almost feel like you could get knocked over because it's so powerful. When I see them, I see a bright flash of light and they'll identify themselves with a ring of color on the outer edge of this orb, this bright flash of orb. And it's huge. It's not a small little flash. it's big. It usually fills the room. When Archangel Michael comes in and works with someone when I'm in the studio, every once in a while he'll present, and he can't get one wing in the Reiki room. That's how big his, like, when he presents, like, I understand he doesn't really have wings, but they present in ways so that we can identify them. And so he'll bring one of his wings and slice it through the room horizontally, and it scares the hell out of me because it's huge, and the energy is so powerful, I feel like I'm going to get knocked over. And I know it's him letting people know, like letting me know to tell the client or whatever, like, this is who's here right now. And he can't get one wing in the Reiki room. That's how big he's, like, presenting himself as is. It's huge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome.
Okay. Karen is saying 10 is notoriously dangerous. She's talking about demons. I don't know what that means. Karen, do you know what that means, Heidi?
I haven't heard it. If I have, I don't remember. I can't say. So please give us more information. Oh my gosh, we should take a break.
Oh,
we're at the halfway mark. Yes. Look at us getting all caught up in the show and forgetting what time it is.
Oh my gosh. Well, we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Millions of people are affected by the Para X bug.
I realize that it is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life and long into the afterlife as well.
If you have the Para X bug, there is hope.
With a nightly visit to the Para X website and intensive past life regression therapy, I can control it.
Even with the Para X bug, I can still lead an active life of radio show hosting, paranormal investigating, evidence checking, attending conferences, book writing, keeping up with the latest technology, and still keep my 40-hour-a-week day job.
If you think that you have the Para X bug or know someone who might, visit para-x.com. And remember, you are not alone.
I am not alone.
I
am not alone.
The Para X bug may cause the urge to chase shadow people, visit exotic haunted locations, adopt a pugwudgie, or spend all of your time trying to figure out the laws and principles of paranormal investigation. Listening to Para X may increase these effects.
Sudden visions of full-body apparitions or feeling the covers being pulled off you in the middle of the night by unseen hands may also be signs of exposure to the Para X bug.
The use of Para X may be habit-forming, and an overwhelming desire to provoke spirits may be a serious side effect. If these symptoms last more than 4 hours, you should quickly consult a trusted witch and have her cast a "What the hell are you thinking?" spell on you. If symptoms persist, please contact the Para X Radio Network Homeland Security Team for further instructions.
The Para X bug may cause urges for late-night speaking with spirits and ghosts. Listening to Para X may increase these effects. Overwhelming desire to try provoking a spirit may be a serious side effect. Those with Para X bug effects lasting more than 4 hours should consult Para X or see a professional. Sudden outbursts at the mention of orbs may be a sign of exposure to the Para X bug. Use of Para X may be habit-forming. Use caution when engaging in Para X chat.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
To the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para X Network, and we're talking about angels and demons. We haven't even gotten to demons because we're so caught up in angels. This might have to be a two-part show. There's so much good stuff with angels. We have to have demons next week or something. So Jerry, during the break, was typing about an experience he had, and I want to read that. He said, "When I was 18, I was in a horrible accident, rolled a vehicle. When the vehicle stopped, my friend and I were sitting up, looking at each other. We couldn't hear. The sun just popped up, and I put down my shade and saw my mother's face. She told me many things going on in my life and that my friend was hurt, broken pelvis, but will walk within 3 months. Then she was gone. Reality kicked in. We were at the hospital the next day. Doctors told me he would never walk again, but he was walking in 3 months."
Yeah, that's a cool story.
That's, wow. That's amazing. You know, you kind of want angel intervention with that kind of stuff. It's cool to know that there are beings out there that care about you enough to keep you here, you know, that there's things going on that you need to be here for, right? Your life and whatever things you're supposed to learn. So it's cool to know that there might be some beings that can intervene.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they can always, because life, you know, it doesn't always work out. But if they can intervene, I think some, you know, that they would.
Yes, yes. Well, for sure. So I know that Jerry's mom died when he was very young. He was like 13 or something. So she'd been gone already for 5 years, I think, when this happened. So so Jerry's question is, can an angel or spirit guide, can they be a parent? But you're saying no, that spirit guides and angels have never been human.
Right.
So
spirit guides have, but the reason your spirit guides aren't your parents or grandparents or someone who's passed on when you've been on this planet in this incarnation, because your spirit guides have worked with you for multiple lifetimes. So they're going to be around many lifetimes. So they're already going to be your spirit guide before you're born in this lifetime. But that doesn't mean your mom can't come in after you had angel intervention and give you a message while you're in this like suspended state, you know, this massive tragedy. You know, that's kind of like the thinning of the veil, right? You have this moment of in between because you maybe had one foot in the other side for a second. So you have this opportunity maybe to get a message from someone who has passed on, like, you know, Jerry's mom in this case, but she wouldn't be a spirit guide. That doesn't mean she can't come around. She can come around if that's what she wants to do as often as she wants. But it wouldn't be your spirit guide though.
Yeah.
But what an interesting experience. And I'm glad that you're safe. Wow.
Yes. Well, and it is true when you are in that kind of an experience, like I think I've talked about it on the show before, but when Jerry was having a medical procedure many years ago, and he was still half out of it, and my dad appeared to him. And, you know, my dad has been gone for, my mom and dad both died 15 years ago, within 3 months of each other, and gave him a message. And the message was, tell him it's not his fault. And Jerry's like, who? Tell him it's not his fault, you know? And then he said, oh, and by the way, tell Steffi that Betty loves it when she remembers her birthday. Before he had had this procedure, I had said, oh my gosh, it's my mom's birthday. Casey, when we're done with this, we have to go get flowers and put on her grave, you know? So that was really cool. And it was a message to one of my brothers, you know? And so so there's just an example of having one foot in the other realm, you know?
Yeah.
But very cool.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting hearing some of these stories about angels, which I'm cool doing the whole show on angels, and we could do a part two on this because I'm sure we have a ton of stories on demons as well.
Sure.
But it's fun to start with the angels because there's so many, like, I love hearing some of these stories of, you know, people that are in these life or death situations and you think you should have gotten hurt, you know, someone like, and I know that in Jerry's case, his friend did get hurt, but you think like, but you could have died. Like, it's really, it would have been, you almost think you should have, not that I would want that, but you know, and then they don't and maybe come out of it without a scratch. And it's like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
Really? You know, and, so you know, have you to wonder.
You hear about that happening quite often, right? People just walking away in the cars and tatters, like Tim, for example, you know, even though he could drive the car, it's like, wow, you know, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to read some of these.
I know I'm getting,
there's a lot going on here. Comments.
You know, and there's a comment that Kat made and I asked her to clarify, but I'll try and, she's asking, why don't these guardian angels intervene for kids who never got a chance at life? And that is that's a tough topic, right? You know, you look at kids who are very young or never made it into this world. They died before they were born or soon after, or when they were young. Any age is, you know, we probably think is too young, but you know, when you think of kids, we think of, you know, 18, under 18, right? And why would they, you know, not be given a pass? Like, why can't an angel step in and save them? I get it. I would love for no kid to, you know, have cancer or accidents or whatever. That's, it does seem it's too short, but you know, I've asked my spirit guides about this many times when, you know, people have come in and they've lost a child or whatever, you know, if they, you know, didn't follow up and, you know, follow through on the pregnancy by their own choice, whatever it is. And I asked, what is with these children, you know, what happens? And what I was told is when a child dies, and usually, and it's not just babies too, that the child can be a part of almost like a spirit guide team, even though it's not a spirit guide because we already talked about that. But it's, they stick around for the life of that person, because what they're, what's also happening, it's not just about the child passing away, but it's also about our experiences and learning how to live in these processes and these things that are happening, that are so challenging, and almost they feel like crippling a lot, you know, to a lot of people, where they just think, how am I supposed to go forward after this experience? How am I supposed to do this? But that's part of some of the things that we're here to learn too. You know, we're not just here to learn fun things. Sometimes we're here to learn about, you know, how to live through a tragedy.
Yes.
And, you know, is, does that change our life? Does it not? Do we heal? Do we not? I don't know. There's so many different ways that that could go, but some of it is just part of our soul path here. The people that are still here, you know, around who the, you know, the child that died. So, but a lot of times the child stays with the parents, one or both, a very long time, if not for the rest of their lives. So,
yes,
especially babies. That's very common. I see when I do readings for people, I'll see, you know, infant energy that, you know, maybe a child that they lost before it was born or when it was very young. I see that usually pretty, pretty clearly, but there's so many lessons and they're just hard and it sucks to talk about it. Like you don't, you don't even want to talk about like that kind of stuff because it doesn't even make sense sometimes. You know, you talk about it and you're like, yeah, so what? So what? I don't like that. I don't want it. I would rather have my kid. Yeah, no kidding. Me too. But
oh yeah.
It's just, it's just doesn't, we can't understand it, I guess. I don't know. Exactly. That's a hard, that's a hard topic. That's a hard
question. It is a hard one. And then timepiece, like she says, some journeys are long and some are short. And that's true. Absolutely. Like I said, our time is measured from the minute we're born, I believe. Karin is also saying that also the ones who are saved may have an important mission to complete or a lesson to learn, just what you just said.
But it, and it doesn't have to be important as like world changing or, you know, anything like that. It doesn't have to impact anybody else because it might be just a lesson that that soul needs to work on or learn or heal that maybe they haven't been able to in past lives when this, something similar has happened. And so this is, you know, it's not that this is why it happened, but you know, if it does happen, then it gives our soul a chance to work on something that maybe we had a hard time working on in a past life. And that can be huge. That can be life-changing for that person, for sure. Hard topic for sure. But
it is.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to wrap our minds around some of these things, you know, that we, that happen or that we ask about or we, you know, just anyway.
Well, and that stuff is like, we'll never know. We'll never know, right? Till we're gone. And then maybe we'll know. But maybe then we'll never know either. But we can, you know, we can certainly think about maybe why this is happening or why this happened or whatever. But yeah.
And Karin said, why do bad things happen to good people and innocent people? And that's kind of like what we're talking about. I mean, you know, it is bad. When something bad happens, it's awful. You know, if someone is abused or murdered or has an illness that they die from, especially young, you know, it's like, why? Why can't an awful person have something like that happen? And it's like, well, I'm, first of all, I don't know who's here to judge what that is. I mean, I think we have an idea, you know, based on our rules and order here that we decide who is not good. But when it comes to why does good stuff or bad stuff happen to good people? It's like, well, because I don't think that there's a, there's not a rule to how this stuff happens. It's, you know, we're all learning from different experiences, you know, and if a bad thing happens to someone good that we love, we, that's part of our learning is how to process and heal and, you know, what do we do with that? And so, yeah, we don't get to decide, thankfully, not, you know, get to decide who, what happens to who and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
No, interesting comments. So Kat's saying it'd be a lot easier to fix things from past lives if we remembered what we screwed up before.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't it though? It would be so easy. But then we take all the fun out of it.
I know. Because, it's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, you get to fall into the same traps that, you know, in the same comfort zones, the same, you know, whatever. You fall into the same, you know, places that take you down a path that you've been down before. It's like, well, let's try it again and see, you know, are you make a different choice this time? Are you going to choose something different? So, yeah, I wish we knew, but then we would, why would we come if we could remember that stuff and it wouldn't make any sense to be here? So we gotta learn. I know right. It would be, right. I would love it. I don't get a free pass. I talk directly to him and I still got to figure stuff out.
Yeah. There's no, like Swanee says, there's no instruction manuals.
No. You know, it's funny when I talk about when you're born, you come in with a list of things that you're working on. And not like what kind of job you're going to get or who you're going to marry or what not marry or whatever. It's more, you know, like the soul overarching stuff. And so we have these lists, right? And they probably don't even make sense to us in human form. But we have these lists. We work on them with our spirit guides and whoever else is in the process. And you know how you have like teachers that are like, no, you really should work on that. And you're like, do I have to? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, okay. But these I'll work on. You know, I want to work on this. And they're like, but you better add that. It's like, okay. So you go in, you're born. And as you're born, your list goes like out the window. Sure. Like you just roll down the window of your car and out goes your shopping list, right? And you're like, ah, and then you're born and you're like, what am I doing here? And that's how it is for every one of us, you know, and some of us have a little bit of recollection of past lives, but there's a reason we don't remember. You know, most of the people on this planet, as you're born, you don't remember. There's a reason for that. If we were supposed to remember, most people would remember.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Wow. This is going down lots of different rabbit holes, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
And then Kat's saying, well, she's made the same stupid mistakes a few times in this life and don't recall it being fun. Well,
I would agree. I don't think they're funny. Well, if we're making a stupid mistake, it's probably not fun.
Right.
It might be fun at the time. And it might not. Depends on the situation.
Yes. Yes. Jerry's saying, like, men don't ask for directions. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I'm the first one to say, where the heck are we? I don't know where we are. We got to get directions. But guys never do that, right? Because I think he said that because Swanee said, well, I probably wouldn't read the manual anyway. Because, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a personal preference because I'm sure that a lot of guys would ask for directions. Although who needs to now? We have Google Maps. So
that's right.
We're all set there.
We have it right on our phone. That's all we got to do is press it in there. So Joe is saying, is it possible that we humans are just pawns for the demons and angels to use against each other?
Well, that's a good question. So here are my thoughts around that. I probably have thoughts around everything that we're going to talk about tonight. So is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Anything's possible. I don't know that it's necessarily pawns to use against each other as more of just kind of, I guess, getting more souls, you know, converting more souls to one side or another. And it's not so cut and dried either. I'm not going to say it's like black and white, cut and dried, like it's sides, you know, that doesn't work like that in spirit world and angels and demons and stuff. But I don't know that they're necessarily doing it against each other as more for themselves. And we have free will, absolutely. And if you think of it like a divided line between good and evil, which it isn't that clear, it is so subtle. And, you know, Steph, you know the picture of the person with the angel and the demon sitting on each shoulder, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It really is. But the voice in your ear, the suggestion is so subtle. You know, it's so little in the beginning because if it's really big and obvious, you're probably going to say yes or no. Like, yeah or no, I'm not going to do that. Or yes, I am going to do that. So it has to be real subtle. Like, well, what about this? Do you want to do that? What do you think about this? And it's for little things in the beginning.
Right.
Because the more we say yes to something or get used to doing something, whether it's good or bad, the more we might be like apt to keep choosing that side, if we're talking about sides, which again, it isn't really like that. So it's not really, I wouldn't say it's like they're using themselves as, or using us as pawns against each other, more of getting something for themselves. If that, I don't even know if that makes sense. This is probably, I don't know if I'm being clear. Hopefully I'm being clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and then Kat's saying, I think there is a lot to the law of attraction. We tend to attract what we think of good or bad.
Yeah, but some of it, if you think of someone that does good all the time and bad stuff happens, how that kind of goes out the window a little bit, because some of it I also think is, you know, we're working off some karmic deck, maybe from a past life or, you know, having to, you know, I don't know, or from this life, I don't know. And I'm not saying you're going to have bad stuff happen to you if you're bad in a past life or bad in this life. It's not always like that, you know, because bad stuff, good stuff happens to bad people, or you think are bad people, like you'd qualify them as bad or whatever, but you see good stuff happen to me, like, how is that happening to you? And I'm following the rules and I'm doing all this stuff and I have not that happen or something else happen. So I don't know. I think in a lot of cases, the attraction, there is a lot of, there is substance to that, but it's not always the case. I mean, you look at a kid who hasn't done anything bad and then they have cancer, right? Or get hit by a car and die. Like how does that, you know, so that doesn't work for me, I guess, in a lot of situations. So, and so, okay. So here's a couple of good, first of all, Karen said, no, I wasn't clear. Okay. So let me get back to, I'll get back to that in a second. Cause I don't know if I'm going to be able to hash it out here. So let's get on to a couple other questions here. Joe is saying there's a battle of sorts, heaven versus hell. No, it, because those don't exist either. It's more of like, getting more on your side, you know, you're trying to get more team members on your side. So if you can convert someone to be a little bit more bad, you know, then the bad side would be winning, you know, like winning. That's not a game. It's just that they want to do it because that's what they do, is that's how they get energy. And
right.
I don't know. It's a weird, I don't know if I can even understand, maybe I can't understand it as a human, so I'm having a hard time explaining it. I get it, though, in like my head it makes sense. I wish you guys could see in my head, that would be great. But there's not a heaven and hell, right? So there's not that necessarily battle for that. Let's see. Oh, Kat says, what could you learn from paying a debt to a life you can't even remember? I know, right? That's a son of a gun right there. It is a son of a gun. Because you're not on a life level, it doesn't make any sense. On this human life, it doesn't make any sense. On an overarching soul journey, it makes sense. So it doesn't make sense while you're here, usually, unless you have an idea of why you're here. To if you've got some information somehow that you're working off some karmic debt or whatever, great. But most of us don't. Right. So then you're like, why is this stuff happening? You know, what is it? So when you get out of here, you go back, you know, you leave your body and you're doing your thing. It's like, oh yeah. Okay. That makes sense. You know, but here it doesn't, because we're in it. You're in the junk.
Absolutely. So Sherry is saying something about the Council of High Deities keeps souls ascending to higher vibrations. And then she says, what do you think of the Jewish tree that creates souls, the guff?
I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
I'm not either. I don't know what that is. Interesting. Interesting, though, for sure.
I'll look it up quick, but I'm getting a lot of stuff. No, I don't even think I can look it up right now. I don't think I have the time. No. But, because we're almost done with the show.
Sorry, we are. That's, it went so fast. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I don't know about it. So, I'd be curious to hear about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, Kat says, cancer for kids, and then some of us seem to have had something or someone intervene on our behalf. I think it's random, and it is. I mean, it's random, and there's stuff totally that we're working on from past lives, and I don't know. There's so many things in it that are the whys, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We may never know. And then Kat says, beings that might help can't be everywhere all the time. Maybe some of us just luck out and are connected at the time it helps, and some didn't get so lucky. Yeah, that's a good explanation. Yep.
Or they just couldn't intervene. either weren't supposed to, or it was too late, or, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. Why wouldn't they? I think they could if they would, if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do want to, but maybe they can't. They're not supposed to.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tricky topic because there's so much we don't know.
Right.
Because how can you know everything about the infinite?
You can't. Nobody can.
Not now. Not as humans.
Mm-mm.
So,
never. So
it's interesting as heck, though, to talk about because you could go so many different ways.
Oh, gosh.
Just talking about angels, we didn't even get to demons. So let me tell you, Steph, I think that's next week.
So that'll have to be next week. Yeah, for sure.
Part two.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, this was a good topic. And Karin is saying that's what religious dogma is for. Yeah. But you know, like some people, a lot of people say, well, my angel did this. I'm not sure any of us have angels that do anything for us all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? Cause I hear people say that and I just roll my eyes and I'm like, okay, if that's what you think, that's cool.
Well, but, I mean, like, you know, I work with my spirit guides all the time and they help me a lot. I mean, not like seriously big stuff, but you know, so maybe that's what they think is that that's an angel, which you might feel like it's an angel because it's, you know, helpful or gets you out of a tough thing, but it might be a spirit guide or some other being helping you.
Yeah. And but Kat is saying, well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of people, I think, use it as a crutch, right? Oh, my angel did this or whatever. And I personally believe that we all have choices to make. And if you make a good one, I'm not going to say my angel helped me do it. No, because it's choices. We do this in our own conscious mind. Kat is saying, I can't imagine a being that's aware of all people all the time, which, yeah. And then she says, demons are angels too, just not as well loved by anyone, which is, that's true too, according to the Bible, right? They're fallen angels. So,
well, if the Bible is the truth for you, then that would be, yes, the truth, right. But not you. I mean you, but I mean you in general,
yes,
people.
Yes.
Anyway, but if it's not your truth, then that wouldn't be with it. How it works, but
that's right. That's right. And Karin's saying Lucifer has gotten a bad rep. Maybe so. Well, we'll talk about Lucifer next week.
Totally.
The demons and the whole nine yards. Yes. And I'll look up the Bible. I'll go back in the Bible and read about those demons and find out what's going on with them.
There you go, Steph. That's your homework for this week, is to read the Bible.
I will. And you know, I did, I have read the Bible a few times, so yeah. I'll have to find out where it is exactly. But yeah. The original meaning of the word Satan is rival. Mm. Yes, that's true. Well, you know what? We have to go. We have to go because there's a live show after ours tonight, so we can't be late.
I know.
So we need to get some stuff happening. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks to the troops if you're listening. Don't forget to listen to the Calling Radio Show tomorrow, our sibling show. And Heidi, I guess we'll talk about demons next week on our show.
We will. And thank you, everybody who's in the chat room, everybody listening, wherever you're from. Sarge, our most awesome producer, and Para X Radio Network for hosting us. We are so thrilled to be here, and we will see you all next week.
Yes, have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.